This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Untik. This Sunday, December 10th, is Human Rights Day. Here in the studio with me to tell me what the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, or SUHAKAM, will be doing is SUHAKAM Commissioner Datuk Ma Wing Kwai. Datuk Ma, welcome.
Thank you, Ying Teck.
So we will be entering the 70th year since the Universal Declaration was adopted. How will SUHAKAM be commemorating this year's Human Rights Day this Sunday?
Yeah, thank you. Well, we are a statutory body, having been established in 1999. And World Human Rights Day is being celebrated on the 10th of December this year. And SUHAKAM is celebrating this on this day on a very large scale. We're having a human rights festival to be held on the 10th of December at Sunway Velocity Mall in Cheras.
Tell me more about this festival. What's going to happen during that day?
Right. The objective of this festival is to celebrate World Human Rights Day and to promote awareness of human rights among Malaysians and anyone that is interested to know about human rights in Malaysia and internationally. And we are to provide education material and to raise public awareness generally. Mm-hmm. We will have booths that are being taken up by 12 NGOs, CSOs, and they will be exhibiting their own material on human rights. And if I may, just go through the list of the of the NGOs. We will have a booth by the UNCAT, that's the to promote the Convention Against Torture. That's the Act for CAT Campaign Coalition. We have NGO for Human Rights, Women's Rights, one on refugees, persons with disabilities, rule of law, Indigenous people's rights, meaning the Orang Asli's rights, environmental rights, labor rights, right to health, elimination of racial discrimination, children's rights, and right to safety. So all these NGOs will have their own activities lined up at their own booths.
Yeah, that's a lot of issues, but is there a central theme or issue that SUHAKAM is going to be championing at this year's festival?
Our motto is human rights for all, and this year's theme is to create awareness so that people will be able to really understand what SUHAKAM does and what human rights mean to Malaysians.
Mm-hmm. So walk me through the festival. What's going to happen 10 a.m. when the mall opened?
Yes, when you do come in the mall at 10, that's where everything starts. And then the launch of the festival will be by Minister Dato' Paul Lau. And that will be at 12:30 in the afternoon. And they'll be followed by a speech by Chairman of SUHAKAM, Tan Sri Razali Ismail. And then this will be followed by a speech by Mr. Stefan Prisna, and he's the UN Resident Coordinator for Malaysia and UNDP Resident Representative of Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei. That's on the official side of the program. Then later on in the afternoon, we will have performances, activities and games. We have for the younger visitors, we will have snake and ladder human rights games, colouring activities for the children, and we will have talks and also stage performances related to human rights. If I may refer to a couple of them, there will be a performance in the evening by refugee groups, a musical performance by Yayasan Chowkit, traditional music group, an Orang Asli group will perform as well. And for the closing, we have a closing performance by the well-known veteran singer Dato' Zainal Abidin.
Is this the first such festival that SUHAKAM is organising? Or has this been done in the past too?
It is a first such festival on a big scale. Mm. It is going to last the whole day. Previously, we had different events to celebrate the Human Rights Day, but they were on a smaller scale, with a smaller target group. Mm. But hopefully in this this year, we will have a much bigger crowd. I'm told that the Velocity Mall, being a new mall, is very popular, especially on a Sunday. Mm. Lots of people come there for shopping or for food and so on. So hopefully this will attract this crowd. Plus, with your good help through this interview, if I put it that way, we will reach out to people who might be interested in human rights activities. And if they want to know more, it's an absolutely fantastic opportunity to talk to people all under one roof at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it is easy access, and we can cover a wide range of subjects.
Would there be a way to measure the effectiveness on whether or not you were able to convey the message, Suakam's message?
As you may know, one of the main work scope that we have, one of the mandates under the Act, is to receive complaints from the public whenever there is a breach or a perceived breach of their rights. And very often, people are not aware that they can actually come to Suhakam and get us to address, help them address their problems. While Suhakam is a statutory body, created by Act of Parliament way back in 1999. We are an independent body, very independent. We have eight commissioners. The chairman is Tan Sri Rizal Ismail. And our work is without influence from any particular organization or even the government. At the end of each year, we produce an annual report. And this annual report is given to Parliament to be tabled in Parliament. And it's our hope and expectation for many years now that this report will actually be debated by parliamentarians. That is something we would like to see happen.
Because the captive audience who will be at Sunway Velocity Mall, would it be a challenge to make the festival and the topic that you'll be covering be relevant to the type of people that you see in the mall?
The general population in the Cheras area, to my mind, is a middle-income urban group. And hopefully these issues will come alive to them when they interact with us. And the expectation, of course, is that they themselves will then go forward, and when they interact with other people, not necessarily from the same income group or same educational background, the word about the activities of Suhakam can be extended. As I mentioned just now, it is very important that when people have problems, that they do come to us and tell us the problem. And at the same time, we will try to help them resolve it by interacting with the various government agencies, international agencies and so on. For example, refugees. We have a very large number of refugees that are in detention camps, in immigration detention camps. Totaling right now, I think, is about 150,000. And not all are UN registered. And those who are not always have this risk of being detained for illegal entry. So this is something where we hope that with more people being conscious of human, being conscious of refugee rights, that a little more can be done to help the large number of refugees that are in the camps, especially children who are in detention, many of whom may be unaccompanied children.
Over the past month, you've been busy with the inquiry into Pastor Koh's disappearance. Is there any update you can tell us about how it's going at the moment?
Sure. This is one example of a complaint being received by Suhakam. And in our own way, we felt that this is a serious problem that needs to be addressed. We had a full board meeting many months ago, and it was decided that we would exercise the statutory power and mandate under the Act for us to hold an inquiry, which is a public inquiry. It's an open inquiry, meaning to say any member of the public can come to the Sohakam premises in Wisma TH Perdana in KL to listen and to observe proceedings. The panel comprises of three of us, three commissioners. That's Dr. Nick Salida, Dr. Aisha, and myself. I chair the panel of inquiry. And this arose because of a complaint which we received from the family of Pastor Raymond Koh.
And what was the complaint?
The complaint is that he was abducted on the 13th of February 17 this year. And until now, there is absolutely no trace, no news of him. And worry was that he had been abducted and we just do not know what happened to him. He just disappeared. And there are various theories. There are actually three that have been presented at the inquiry. One is that he may have been abducted for personal reasons. The other is for abduction for kidnap for ransom. And the lastly is one where this could be the work of extremist groups for religious or other reasons. The police witnesses have discounted the first two reasons, and it may look like this could be a case where his disappearance may have been the work of extremists in the country. The terms of reference of the inquiry are not just to consider what actually happened in the morning of the 13th of February, but it goes beyond that, and that is to investigate and to consider the police actions that was taken, whether it's been sufficient. We also want to know whether there have been breaches by anybody, not just agencies, but perhaps even individuals of any human rights that we all enjoy. And the whole tenor of the inquiry is to see whether or not this is a disappearance within the definition of enforced disappearance. As you may know, there is a convention on enforced disappearances where the disappearance may be the result of the unseen hand of some individual or agency.
Is there a difference between enforced and involuntary disappearance?
Yes. As I was just saying, that the enforced means there's some authority, some agency with authority that's involved in this, not just a man in the street. The man in the street, the criminal who abducts somebody, that is an involuntary disappearance, and that usually is for profit, for money. But when it comes to enforced means, by definition under the convention, this means that the unseen hand of the authority is involved.
So it could mean a state actor.
Yes, yes, it could mean any particular agency. So this idea is to see what actually happened, and it is actually a two-way thing, because if there is evidence, most certainly, when it's pointed out, we will say so. And if there's not, and then any allegations or any perceptions, that too must be cleared. And if a particular agency is not involved, then we will say so.
And so what is the next step in this inquiry process?
We had 10 days of hearing so far. It is part heard, and it will resume in early January, where we will finish with the calling of another four witnesses. So that will close the Pastor Koh case. Then we will go on to two other cases. That is the Amri Chipmat case, where Amri disappeared sometime in November last year in Kanga Police. And the third case is of Helmi and his wife, Ruth. And they too disappeared sometime towards the end of last year. That makes it 3 cases. Yeah, 4 people who have disappeared from November last year to February this year.
So this will keep you busy into the first half of
quite busy, yes.
2018. Yeah. Okay, so just a final message on this Sunday, December 10th, Sunway Velocity Mall from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Any last words for people to go there?
Well, if you have some extra time on your hand and you would like to know a little more about Sohakam, and not just us, but to know more of the work of the 12 participating NGOs, you are most certainly welcome to come and talk to them and interact with them. And at the same time, listen to some pleasant performances later in the day.
Thank you very much, Datuma.
Thank you, Intake. Okay. Thank you.
You are listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.